Okay, let's learn. We have to just finish a little bit more, just to drop more, a little bit more. Hello, make platform working here. Just a few more chazal. Testing. Can you hear me? Maybe you can hear me. All right. Okay, so we are on page 868. Okay, we have just Gira Noshe. Just one more thing I want to finish. One more little man chazal on page 868. Gira Noshe shel Shlom mechabdoi lo amo shel oila male lo mizbeach. Okay, very soon halacha when it comes to the Gira Noshe on animal. That there's a lot of things about an animal, we don't know exactly what it did in the Beis HaMikdash, but the map of the carbon. So today, when you buy meat, what percentage of meat today, of the animals that are slaughtered, are kosher, are glatt kosher? It's a very small percent. In the slaughterhouse, in the slaughter animals, a very small percent of the animals are really sent off to the glatt kosher butcher shops. Most of the animals that they slaughter, either they're not.
Is the government to be glatt kosher?
Yeah, it does. I mean, yeah, it does. Yeah, hakor se, hakor vegeros nechasecha. Whatever you would eat, that's what you give Hashem. Yeah, glatt kosher. So, and even the Iri, he says an incredible chiddush. That why do you salt kol karbon patak with melach? Why do you salt? Put salt on the carbon to take out the kasher. Kosher, just the kasher. You take out the blood. How long does it take the kasher? 18 minutes, at least 18. For the machmer, you wait half an hour. But you need, so that's why they shech the carbon tamid, they brought the animal to the ramp, they brought the piece of the animal to the ramp, and they put the piece of the animal on the ramp, they salted it, and it says in the Mishnah, and then they went to daven shachar. We're going to go down say Kriya Shema, Shachas, Shemana Esrei. What's going on over here? You're in the middle of bringing the carbon. You did the Shlita, Kabbalah, Halacha Zriba. You cut up the pieces, and you gave the animal. You took the animal and you brought the pieces to the rib of the Mizbeach and you put it on the rib. Nine Kohanim. I think it was 9 Kohanim. They took 13 pieces and they brought it to the rib. They put it down and they stop in the middle. In the middle of bringing the carbon, they stop. They put it on the rib and they salt it. They put salt and then they disappear. They go into the Lishkas HaGozis and they daven Shachas. What happened over here? You're right in the middle. Your mamash right smack in the middle of bringing the carbon. Why are you stopping bringing the piece of meat to the Mizbeach and put it on the fire? Why did you stop in the middle? The answer is, you have to let the salt remain on the animal for 18 minutes to take out the blood, to kasher the meat. Because you cannot serve Hashem non-kosher meat. Just like you would not eat that meat because it's not kosher, because there's blood, this is the raisa to eat meat that's not been kashered. You cannot put that meat on the mizbech until you take out the blood. That's the reason why he explains, the Torah says, I'll call karboncha takiv melach, because you have to kasher the meat, and that's why they wait 18 minutes. So that's one example. What about the Gid Hanosha? What? Mimashke Yisrael. Mimashke Yisrael. What about the Gid Hanosha? The Gid Hanosha is not kosher. So did you take out the Gid Hanosha? If we put it was there, so over here he differentiates. Gid Hanosha, Shal Shlomim. I'm on the page 868, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 lines from the bottom. We have one more Maim Chazal before we go further. On the Hakavir Lefechosecha, 5 lines from the bottom. The Gid Hanoshe, Shel Shlomim, Mechadol Lo Amma, they would remove it from the carbon, and what would they do? They would sweep it off to the Amma, to the Amma, the stream. Now, being that the carbon Shlomim was eaten by the Jewish people, by the Balim, and you're not allowed to eat the Gid Hanoshe. Al-Kein lo-yochlu b'nei Yisrael es Gid Hanoshe. They removed the Gid Hanoshe from the Karbon Shlomim, and they disposed of it. Where? In the Omar, the stream. It's like basically the garbage disposal service. But v'shal oila, here's the chiddush, v'shal oila ma'alehu. They burnt it, they brought it to the surface of the Mizbeach. Oh, the worst question, my love, my leu, my that does not mean they brought it to the surface of the Mizbeach and they burnt it on the Mizbeach. Loi, my leu, v'chol tzoy, they brought it to the surface of the Mizbeach and they separated it. U'mashlichoy la'arim ha'so'efer sh'v'emsa ha'mizbeach, and they took out the Gid HaMoshe and they put it with the ash that was already, that's basically the garbage, the disposal. Why? If you're going to remove it, why do you bother? This is a whole new principle. This is an incredible thing what it says over here. That he was taking this concept of in a different fashion, a different way, and saying that it's not derech eretz to bring on the mizbech the leg, this part of the animal that's been butchered,
sliced up.
Right? You don't want to butcher. You don't want to go and give up. You bring it to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You bring it to be'ofan mechuvad before you take out the Gid HaMoshe. And then right before you burn, you can't give Hashem to eat. You can't eat whatever you cannot eat. You can't give Hashem
to
eat.
Chaylev.
That's the exception. Because Chaylev, Hashem says, the favor shall be burnt on the Mizbech. That's why you give.
Because the whole Bachelor is the Korban Pesach. Would you eat the Chaylev or not?
No, definitely not. Absolutely
you
not.
Could with the Chaylev or not? When you roasted the...
No, I don't think so.
You did?
I think you took it out. I think you took out the Chaylev. You take out the Chaylev.
You can't take it out because you can't...
No, you have to... You roast it raw, but you're able to still cut it open and take out the Chaylev. They flayed it. I believe they took out the kidneys. It says they did take it out. I believe they did take it out. You don't have to flay the entire animal. You don't have to cut up the whole animal, take out the chilev. There's no way you're doing how to take it out. But the Gid HaMoshe, they did not take it out on the spot because it should be both in mechubad when you bring it to Hashem, but you cannot burn on the fire because Hashem does not consume chilev. You do not give to Hashem the Gid HaMoshe, therefore you have to take it out, but you take it out on the top of the Mizbeach. Chaylev is the exception. Chaylev is the part of the animal that is miyuchid for Hashem. In fact, the Chazal said the reason why Chaylev for us is aser is because every single animal, really, this animal should have been offered as a korban to Hashem, and the Chaylev would have been given to Hashem. Therefore, even though there are no korbanos today, and we cannot sanctify it, but since this is where it should go, it remains off limits for us. And what's the proof to this? What the chaylev of a chaya, of a wild animal? So that's permitted. Why is the chaylev of a chaya permitted? Because there's no potential. There was no potential. It was never could have been, never could have been offered on the mizbeach. So therefore, that's why there's no prohibition. Okay, so this concludes the section. We've gone over again. Many more chazal is very important. We went through a lot of yisoidos. A lot of very important yisoidos about the principles of ha'akver nolofechosecha. We pretty much go over everything here on the page. Now it comes time to go further. A new sugya. Pasuk yud. Mi gam bochem v'yiskar delasayim v'lo so'iru mizbechi chino. Who is there amongst you who close doors and do not so'iru mizbechi chino? What does it mean over here, Se'iru? To destroy. The word means like a fire, to consume. If you look in the Mitzudos Tzion, he says, Tav'iru, to burn, to consume. Come on, Noshim Bos, Mi'iros, Oysa. Women come, and Mi'iros, Oysa. In that context, it means also to destroy her. That the men destroy the women. They take advantage of them. Let's see further. Ainli. We'll see everything in a moment. Ein li chayf ein bochem. Amar Hashem, Hashem says, I have no desire amongst you. Tzivakos, u'mincha lo yeretzim yetchem. Hashem says, I have no desire to take from you a carbon mincha. Let's read another passage. Ki yimishach Hashem eshvei ad mero. From the time when the sun rises until the sun sets, gadol shvi v'agoyim. My name is exalted among the nations, and v'chomachem in every location. Mukhtar, mugash, l'shmi. There are sacrifices of keteres that are offered mugashim to bring near form of my name, umincha tohara, and the minchah that's pure, ki gadol shri bagoyim amar Hashem tzavakos. V'atem yu mechalalim oisai, you are profaning it, ve'amorchem, when you say, here is a repetition, we're going back now to what we said before, when you say, shulchan Hashem nigo ohu, v'nivo nivze ochloi. And the word nivo means that it is I'm not even sure I'm saying it correctly. Amira, nivo loshav, niv sifosayim. The nivo, you state that it is detestable. Its food is detestable. We have to obviously see more what this means. Let's go through it slowly. Back, through circling back to Pasidim in the Mitzvah, David. I'm going back now to page 869 in the Mitzvah, David. We're going to go through the Pasidim again very carefully. Mi gam bochem halavai. He learns the words over here. Migam is an expression. If only they were to be found. Migam, migam. Two words which are read together as an expression. If only they would be. Halavai. Halavai imotze. Migam bochem. They would be amongst you. The yisker dalse beis hamikdash. People have the courage to close, to shut down the beis hamikdash. Shlo yavo mi shama lirmos chatzerai. The lo su'iru. And do not ignite a fire on the Mizbeach and offer sacrifices which are disgusting in my eyes. I do not desire. So let's go back to the pasuk. What the Rebbe is saying is, halavai, there will be a person here in society and in Klal Yisrael that have the courage to shut down the Beis HaMikdash, to appreciate that this Beis HaMikdash is not what I want. It's not what I want. I have no pleasure from this Beis HaMikdash, from the sins that are taking place over here, and you should come and shut it down. Halavai, this goes back on the beginning of the process, halavai will be a person that has the courage to come to the Mikdash and make sure that no one lights a fire on the Mizbeach for no reason to offer Kavanos. Because in Chavetz Lachem, I don't have any desire, I get no satisfaction from the Kavanos, Omar Hashem Tzavokas. Umincha lo eretzer miyetchem, okay, from the next page 870, on the Mitzudas David, on the very, very bottom, lo yakabla miyetchem, beruatzayim b'choymer, v'lomem kein tavidu esh al mizbechi b'chinem, why then are you making fire on my Mizbeach? You're wasting, you're wasting fuel. It's a waste of time. The Kribonos are not acceptable in my eyes. I do not have any satisfaction. Halavai, some of the courage to close down the base on the street. Imagine such a thing.
It reminds the people of the Corona that they closed all the
shuls. The shuls.
And the Rabbanim, it was very painful.
Yes.
To keep over our lives.
I remember I was in shul. When they closed down the shul. Closed down. I couldn't. My rabbi, he was like, couldn't believe he would close down. Very. So he closed down like everyone else. Same thing. And he asked me to make a sign on the out on the door to write the shul was closed. Okay. So I asked him, what should I write? What should I write? Oh, you put down Jonas Willis. You put down someone who couldn't read it. And you press done, you have pressed done.
There's no done there.
So he asked me to make a sign. He asked me to make a sign that says the shoe is closed. So I asked him, what should I write? What exactly do you want me to write on the sign? So he says to me, I don't know. What do you write? What do you write on the sign, the shoe is closed?
Yeah,
I hear, but I don't think it would go off so well. It's too late now, but it would have been a very important thing. You go to every single shul in the neighborhood and take a picture. Take a picture of the sign we put on the door of the shul's books. You would learn maybe an insight into the minds of the whole Klal Yisrael, what they were thinking. If someone did it by accident, someone made a video, they made this initiative to do some, whatever, some type of initiative during Corona, and they went around to many, many shuls, and they took videos of all the shuls that were closed. And Derech Agav, that was not their intent, you saw the signs on many, many shuls, and you were able to get a glimpse, and every sign is very, very different. Every sign had a very different nusach. It's a 14 slap. What was the mindset of the Rabbanim or the Gabbayim when they put up the sign on the shul was closed? I mean, first of all, who leaves the sign? The shul was closed, the door is locked, right? What's the purpose of the sign exactly? I'm not exactly sure, but almost every single shul had a sign. And some signs are very elaborate, they were tied up, and they said whole instructions. And some signs were very painful. They reflected the tsar of the Rabbanim or the Gabbayim in closing, and it was very insightful to study the signs that most people just wrote without even thinking. They just threw up a sign. They wrote the shul was closed.
There are no signs people would be knocking, thinking they were just locked out.
Everyone was in lockdown for 3 months.
And we know that, but.
So you go to shul, so all the shuls are closed. Like, what's the shayel? The shul is closed. They're afraid of the government. They put up the sign because they're afraid of the government or the neighbors. Certain people, like every block has a certain person that's like watching. I catch you in the street. You know, there's certain people like that. They have this pleasure in capturing you if you're not wearing a mask in the street. So for those people, maybe you want to keep them quiet. Look, we have a sign. Don't get all worked up. We're following the rules, at least for now. The shul is closed. I don't know, but it was very insightful. Here, HaKadosh Baruch Hu over here is saying is during good times. Who here has the courage to shut down the shul because this is not a place of service to Hashem? How many rabbanim get up and say if the behavior in this shul does not improve? And people don't stop coming early to davening and stop talking during davening and start behaving the way they're supposed to behave, we're going to shut down the shul. You ever hear something like that ever? Never. And someone told me it was such a nice word. Rav Taki told me to shut down the shul for a period of time to make a statement that that what's going on here in the shul is totally out of control. But Hashem over here is coming and it's demanding. I'm asking for volunteers. Mila Hashem Elai. Who will be so kind to come and shut down the Beis HaMikdash because this place is corrupt. And Hashem does not need a corrupt Mikdash for His service. Let's go for the next pasuk. Let me see the Zavit. Pasuk Yud Aleph. Ki Mimizra Hashemesh, Asher Mimimkon, Zichas Hashemesh, Anogam Shekiyasa, Gadu Shemi, Ben Agoyim, Ki Kula Moidim Bo Yisparach, Shu Sasibo Hashem HaMashpas, Bichulam. Everyone acknowledges that Hashem is the source of everything. They make a mistake. Over here, the Rabbi Mitzudos is saying a very powerful principle. This is what the Ramban says, that even the Goyim who worship idols are believers in God. The only difference between Oyvi Avodah Zarah, those who worship gods, and Klal Yisrael is Klal Yisrael acknowledges that Hashem is the source, and Hashem still is the source. He's always the source. Every single thing happens through Him. The Goyim believe that Hashem created the world, Hashem created powers. He created, and He gave these powers independent control. And Hashem is out of here. Hashem's on vacation. For the next million years, Hashem's on a cruise in the Caribbean. He's on vacation. Who's the Balabas? The moon. The moon has independent control. The Shemesh has independent control. The Mazolas have control. And if you need something, you go to them. They have full control to grant you your every wish. Even though I created them, I created everything, but I'm not interested in running this world. I did my thing, and I'm off to other places. Hashem has disappeared. The Goyim, the Mitzudas David says that the Goyim also deeply believe that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created this world. This world did not come about in the Big Bang. There is a God that created this world. The mistake that the Gentiles make is that in addition to Hashem creating the world, he relinquished his authority. He gave over his power to his deputies. Who are his deputies? The sun, the moon, the stars, the mazalos, all these various forces, and they act now independently. It's like government.
Are we saying that the Goyim today believe this way?
I don't know what they believe today. I don't know if they believe anything today. Today the Goyim don't seem to be very religious, most Goyim today. But this is what the Mitzudas, God we trust. So today I read an article not that long ago that half the country wants them to take those words off the Dalai. Half the country want, they mamish want those words to be, they find it offensive. They find it offensive. Half the country, 50% of the population, it's offensive. Who is this God? I'm God. 50% of the country. So, and if you ask them, okay, what about the other 50% of the country that does not want it removed or is tolerant? If you ask them, what does it mean? They'll give you some really strange, convoluted explanations of what those words really mean, which will shock you. Look, today they have a holiday in America, a day of prayer. It's not a federal holiday, but there's a day traditionally in America, a day of prayer. This, and every year they're praying for the last, who knows how many years, the President of the United States publicly, he says a speech in honor of the National Day of Prayer. This year, for the very first time, our President did not say the word God in his address. How could you have prayer if you don't have God? He refused. He deliberately omitted the word God from his address on the National Day of Prayer in the United States of America. Why? Because he's a politician, and a politician does the will of the people, and since most people find the word God offensive in this country, so therefore the President of the United States decided in his speech on Day of Prayer when he's not going to say the word God. So what's the problem? Who are you praying to? You pray to your wife, you pray to your children, you pray to the moon, you pray to yourself, you pray to the money, you pray to the stock market. I don't know, everyone has their own convoluted, crazy ideas. That's what happens when you live in a world where you know, you do whatever you want.
You still have a Pledge of Allegiance.
We do? Every single sports figure, when they play the Pledge of Allegiance all over the world, they kneel. They kneel as a statement that they spit on the Pledge of Allegiance. What are you talking about, Pledge of Allegiance? They have the Olympics, almost more than half the players in the country, in every league, in football, the Super Bowl, they sing the Star Spangled Banner. And what do all the players do? They all get that on their knees, they turn their back to say, this country, the flag, should burn the flag, should go down the drain. Oh, but you know, in this country, you're making millions of dollars. If not for this country, you would be an ape somewhere in the Amazon, climbing a tree looking for a banana. And here in this country, they gave you a contract of $10 million, and fame, the whole world is coming to bow down to you, only because you live in this country, only because of the opportunity. How dare you turn your back on the flag and insult all the people that made it possible for you, all the people who give up their lives? A per adam. Your mamash, and then when they ask Psaki, the president's spokeswoman, and they tell her, what does the president say about the people who mamash burned the flag, spit on the flag, all these sports figures, the sports people who have covered and money and their whole life, this country? And she says the president believes in the freedom of expression, and what they're doing is good, and they have the right to do so. Tell me, is this normal? Am I retarded? Or are they retarded? Or are we both? Does this make any sense to you?
Yeah,
out of your mind?
Got smart for once.
What did they do? What?
They said no, absolutely no political comments, either air motions or whatever.
Why, they do it every single day now?
But they just made the law yesterday.
They'll not follow the law. They won't follow the law.
Not during marching, not during...
They're not going to follow the law. They'll do whatever they want to do. And they'll even say, okay, so don't give us the gold medal, though. Wahachas. Wahachas. You'll see. We'll do it. It's an amazing... How does this happen? How does suddenly... This happens when you, there's no such thing as God. When you have no religion, you have no values, then that's what happens. That's what happens. So in the Beis HaMikdash, that was happening also. The Beis HaMikdash was becoming a place, just a social, it was a social environment, the Beis HaMikdash. I had someone yesterday, he tells me, yes, me whole shy, he says, the middle of shul, he comes to shul, and someone comes over to the middle of davening, and he asks him a question. So he wants me to tell him exactly how I should. He doesn't want to talk during davening. He doesn't want to talk, but he doesn't want to insult the other person. So when exactly should he stop? Where should he stop? How should he tell the person that now he's in the middle of davening and respond? So I told him, you know, you're crazy. I told him, Mamash got so, as I said, tell me, what did you come to shul for? You come to shul to daven or to have a conversation? If you came to have a conversation, don't bother him. If you came to daven, totally ignore him. Totally. The most maybe you can do is put your finger on your mouth for 1 second. You're worried about him being insulted? That's what you're worried about? Then don't come out of your mind. You have to worry. They put so much pressure on you to corrupt you. Who cares about him? You came to shul to daven. What you're supposed to do in shul is daven. He doesn't understand that. That's his problem. You telling me that you feel insulted? You're concerned about his feelings? That he's insulted? That you didn't have a conversation with him? You're corrupt. They've corrupted you. They totally corrupted you. What is this? What has become of you? And he couldn't understand what I'm telling him. Again, Nochamol, again and again. He thinks, no, the talking is the ikker. And he who doesn't want to talk, it's a chumrah. It's like a hiddur, like a brisk chumrah. It's a brisk chumrah not to talk during davening. And he wants to be machmir. But the ikker is not to insult his friends who want to converse with him. It's nahapachu. It's mamash nahapachu. This is a pumshpil. Over here is an incredible pasuk. HaKadosh Baruch over here is coming to demand courage to do the right thing, shut down the shul. And he says over here, this pasuk over here is, even the goyim, look at the build-up. The build-up over here is, and the entire, all the goyim, they know. They're up to now the fourth law. Let's read that pasuk one more time. Pasuk it out, one more time. The goyim from the entire civilization, the goyim know. The mitzvah says that the entire world acknowledges there is a God. They make a mistake. The mistake the goyim make is they think that Kadosh Baruch Hu is on vacation or has permanently left this part of the world. It's like Star Trek. Okay, Star Trek, you have to go warp speed, you go travel for weeks and weeks to go to another part of the universe. Hashem has disappeared. And who did he leave in control of Earth? He left in control the stars, the moon. Avol yachshavu shehanhagas ha'olam ha'shofel, this low world, bo ha'kol mima'archois ha'shamayim. It's under the authority of the mazalas. Uvichol mokon muktar mugosh kushmi, which in the way ma'am ma'am, shehu umayis maktirin. This is the goyim. They go and they offer sacrifices. They offer sacrifices to Shemayim. Kavanasim, their intent is they're doing so to give honor, to serve. Sibasam harishayna. Let's read further. One more time. This they give sacrifices to the mazolos. Kavanosim he, their intent is shebozeh. Through this yichavdu, they give honor, viyavdu, and they do service as sibosam harishayna. I'm not sure what he means by this. This is a mistake. He said in the previous line. He explained that the goyim, they believe that Kadosh Baruch Hu has left town and he gave over his authority to a multitude of heavenly bodies. Umincha tohayra, umashe mevim lekarbon use shudahi. This that the goyim they bring meal offerings. He Tahoira Unikia, they believe that their sacrifices and their offerings is pure. Lefi Daitam, Hanire Benem, according to what they think, because they are basically worshipping the mazolos, believing that these mazolos are the new authority in town. Ki Gadol Shmi Bagoyim, Ulachem Lefi Turusam, because of their mistake, Yakrivu Lemarches Hashemayim, they offer to the mazolos a mincha tohoira. Okay, let's read one more pasuk, then we'll come back and explain it in one piece together. Pasuk Yibes, V'atem, Avu Bar Atem Mechalim Es Hashem. You, the Jewish people, you profane Hashem's name. Bema She'atem Oimim. With this that you say Shulchan Hashem Vuhu Amizbech Mitoav Hu. This goes back to what we learned last week when you claim that the Mizbech of Hashem is disgusting. Al Ki Nizrak Olav Hadam. We offer blood. V'Niktar Olav Hachelef, and we bring upon it fats. Devarim shenefesh adam kotze, but things which are disgusting. And that becomes your excuse to offer animals that are defective. Kmo shenem olamala v'nivoy niv loshna speech niv sifasayim. A navi is called a navi because of this word. That means the murmuring of words. Dennis Wilbur, well, shalom aleichem. Haven't seen you in a long time. Nice to see you.
Who's that?
Dennis Wilbur. V'nivay v'tzenu l'amar, niv imre ha-mizbech ha-shog b'fichem, the words of the mizbech which is fluent in the mouth, l'daber bo, the insult, these people, they are in a perpetual state of insulting the mizbech, hu l'amar, hinei ma'acholoi ha-chusam olav hu nivze. The food that is put upon this table, meaning the korbanos that are offered to Hashem, is disgusting, niv ze u'mitoa v'hu kefal in b'milo shonis. Okay, so let's go back and read the pasuk.
It's as if the mizbeach has a mouth and it eats the korban.
The mizbeach has a mouth?
The nivoach.
You're translating. So you're translating the word nivo imreham. You're right. You're right. I did not. Wait. Imre niv imreham mizbeach hashogur b'fichem. It says ledaber b'ok. You're saying a different idea. You're saying, I hear what you said. Let's first do the mitzvahs. We'll come to your idea in a moment. The Mitzudah seems to be saying that the Niv is the Niv of the people, of the Kohanim. You're suggesting that the Mizbeach has a mouth.
Shulchan Hashem Megu'al, the Niv, he's talking to Shulchan. Shulchan, yes, no pay.
Oh, okay, hey, I hear what you're saying, and maybe someone will see, either one of the commentators will say it, or you will see it independently, which is fine. But the Mitzudah appears to learn that the subject of the word Niv are the Kohanim. Okay, the Kohanim are the ones who are saying.
So,
yeah.
My understanding is that they're going to believe in Hashem, but they believe that
he disappears.
The world is too low, and Hashem has
empowered all the mazalot, and Hashem left. Right, this is the classic. That's what Ramban says. That's what the Rambam says. That's the classic approach of Avodah Zarah. The Goyim originally believed in God. They do believe in God, but they believe that this world is not kedai for Hashem to involve himself in the nitty-gritty details of this world. Hashem has other things to do. There's a very massive universe out there, and Hashem has left. He's gone. And before he left, he put in charge deputies. Who did he put in charge? The sun, the moon, the stars, powers. And each power has their limited
control.
And often there are conflicts. Between there are many powers, so the sun and the moon, they get into a fight, and what happens? There's a hurricane. There's a this. There's a that. There are mazolos. There are other forces. There are many, many forces. These forces were granted to them by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Hashem is no longer here to referee all these forces. And if you want to get something done, you better be good to the sun, the moon, the stars, and the piece of wood on the floor and the stone, and because they are the ones who Hashem has given power. And you need to worship multiple gods because Hashem's power has been divided amongst all of the creatures here on this world, all of the powers. And it could very well be, there are certain things that sometimes no one has power over. Like what happens on the dead end, they always complain, the dead end streets, no one comes to plow the snow. On the dead end streets. We don't plow the snow. Who do you complain to? What are you going to complain to? Or there's certain parts of the parts of the city where the jurisdiction changes. This is where this sanitation department, their jurisdiction ends, and this department, this is where it begins. Police precincts, right? Where, who's in charge to patrol the boundary? The boundary of this precinct, the 70th precinct, and the 63rd precinct. Who's in charge? What are the lines? Go online, you have a map, and you see exactly where the precincts end. Along the boundary, there's a lot of crime. Why along the boundary is there a lot of crime? Because each one relies on the other. The 70th precinct relies on the 63rd precinct, because that's your jurisdiction. It's the boundary. Okay, so that's all part of Avodah Zarah. So going back now, Rav Kalman, you are right. Rav Kalman, you're saying a very interesting idea. Over here, you're giving the Kleich a peh to the Mizbeach. The Mizbeach has a peh, because the Mizbeach is eating the food. It's a brilliant idea. So we'll get to that in a moment. But right now, the Mizbeach seems to clearly say, the second line from the bottom, the Nivra, the Tzalema, Niv, Imraham, Mizbeach, the words regarding the Mizbeach. And he explains, Hashagur Bithichem. It's undeniable that the Mitzvah study learns the word Niv, the subject of the word Niv, is the people, not the Mizbeach itself. The people, the Kohanim that service the Mizbeach, they say disgusting, nasty, crude words about the Mizbeach. That this Mizbeach is a disgusting place and its food is disgusting. Okay, let's go back and look over here, and we'll get to the Pasuk, Begach, Kabach, Pasuk, Yalav. Ki, Mizrach, Shemesh, Va'ad, Mivo'o. According to the Mitzvah study, this does not refer to time. Okay, it's very easy to get misled. Okay, when you say the words from the time the sun from the time the sun rises until the sun sets, right? So that sounds like a 12-hour period of time. The Mitzvah study says that's not what it means here in this pasuk, which is a very interesting insight into the pasuk. It means location. When you wake up in the morning, you see the sun is rising. Where is the sun? It's in the east. The sun is in the east. Okay, so let me chase the sun. Let me go there. Well, you're going to be traveling a very, very long time to get there. When you wake up in the morning and you see the ball of the sun arise in the horizon, okay, so let's get on the bus and let's go to see the sun itself. We all know that when you see the sun rising is the beginning of the world. It's figuratively speaking, it's thousands of miles to get to that part of the earth. The earth where in our perceptions, we see the sun rising. When the sun sets, day is over. Okay, let's chase the sun. Well, we know that the amount of land between where we are and where the sun is setting on this earth, from our perception, even if it would be true that the earth, if it would be true that the earth is flat, and we can go to the end of the earth and watch the sun fall down below the earth, it would be thousands of miles. So from the piece of earth where the sun rises to the part of the earth where the sun sets, that is what the pasuk means. It means throughout the entire civilized world. This pasuk makes a lot more sense if you believe that the earth is flat. If you're willing to accept the notion that the earth is flat, then it's very easy to appreciate what this pasuk means. It means the space, the land of the civilized world from the east all the way to the extreme west. Gadol Shemi Ba'Goyim. My name is great among the Goyim. So the Mitzvah study is saying a very profound idea that even the Goyim, deep down in their subconscious, thick minds, know I am the boss. They know that this world cannot possibly come about make-believe. This world came about through the koyach of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So why then don't the Goyim serve Hashem? Why don't they serve Hashem? Yet uvechol mokoyim, every location, muktar, mugosh, lishmi, they bring... Okay, they bring, in every single place, they bring ketores, is mugosh, lishmi, umincha tohoira. Now, he is, this is the part that I didn't really explain correctly. Let's go back and read that mitzvah, that part again one more time. We'll try to clarify what he means over here better. They believe in me, right? They believe that Kadosh Baruch Hu is in charge. Okay, it's the last small line in the mitzvah study. Umikol Mokam, nevertheless, Muktar, Mugosh Lashmi, Ritzinulema, Ma, Shehu Umois, Maktidin Limarfes Hashemayim, this that the nations they offer Keteris to the Mazolois, Lisratzes Lefneim, Kavanosam Hi, their intent is, Shebozeh, through doing that, Yechabdu V'Yavdu, they will give honor, and they will serve as Sibosam Harishayna, Uvzeb Emes Yitu Kiloinoga Aleim Orator V'Han Nivu. So I think what it means like this, it means, by serving Hashem's servants, it is a cover to the master. Okay, that's the way the Mephoshah is, that the Goyim think that if a person gives cover to your children, that's automatically a cover to you. Okay, you have a person as a child, and if you see someone giving cover to your child, that's the biggest nachas. I know someone who was a Rebbe in a very big yeshiva. He told this to me himself. He said to me that he taught there in the yeshiva, now he's retired, but he taught there in this yeshiva for probably 50 years at least. And there's only one person in the yeshiva that has his name. His name. So Aaron, and he was a popular person. So let's give him a name. We'll call him Cohen. Okay, Rabbi Cohen. So they would say to him, Rabbi Cohen, Rabbi Cohen, Rabbi Cohen. He always hear his name being called, and he would turn around and talk to his students. Vayehi Hayoyim, his son, became an adult and married, and was in the Koilel, and yeshiva then took him as a Rebbe. Okay, so they took him as a Rebbe, and he was a Rebbe. Vayehi Hayoyim, he was in this school. And he hears someone from across the room call out, Rabbi Cohen! Rabbi Cohen! So he turns around and he realizes they're not calling him. The name wasn't just a simple name. Blah, blah, blah. And he realizes that they're calling his son. So for the first time in 50 years, he has a very unique name. No one in the whole yeshiva has a name close to that. No one stakes it out. It's only one of them. For 50 years, people, he walks in the hall, he goes in the elevator, he goes on the steps, he goes to the classroom, he goes into the Beis Medrash, the library, wherever he goes. Rabbi Cohen, Shalom Aleichem, Rabbi Cohen, Rabbi Cohen, Rabbi Cohen. I have a question, Rabbi Cohen, they call him, Rabbi Cohen, is Rabbi Cohen here? Is anyone see Rabbi Cohen? 50 years. A day doesn't go by when someone doesn't address him or call out for him in some shape or form. Vayehi Hayoyim, he's walking in the hallway. And someone calls out, Rabbi Cohen! And he turns around and he sees that the person that's calling Rabbi Cohen is calling to his son, who is now works for the yeshiva and is a Rebbe in the yeshiva. So, wait a minute. It's the first time that ever happened. They've been calling my name for 50 years. And now they're calling that name and they're referring to my son. So tell me, isn't that the greatest nachas that can possibly happen?
Sure, please.
It's the greatest nachas. It is. He told me the nachas, it doesn't get better than that. It doesn't get better than that. That's the ultimate nachas. So the Goyim believe, mistakenly, in that when they bow down to the moon and the sun and the mazolos and the stone and wood, that is a nachas for Hashem. By us bowing down to the sun, to the moon, we're giving you nachas. Because you, Hashem, created this world, and you have nurtured the sun and the moon. You've recruited them. They're your product. And you've given them authority. So by us giving kavod to this authority, you're really giving nachas to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's what they think. And that they say, that's why they say that what we're doing is a mincha tohoira. What we're doing is the ultimate nachas to Hashem. There's truth to that concept.
Yeah, I think it makes sense.
But the problem is they're making a very big mistake.
Yes.
And the Mitzvah says because they do not have the Torah and they have no Mesorah, they believe that Hashem skipped town. maybe he sends a WhatsApp once in a while to see how the sun and the moon are doing, but and he's given over the authority to the sun and the moon. The truth is, he has not. The sun and the moon and the stars and the wood and stone have absolutely zero authority. Nothing. Zero, zero, zero. So if you go and if someone, if you're in the yeshiva, in our example, someone calling by calling that name to a person who has not been hired, does not have makom in this makom, it would be an insult to that person, because the person has no authority whatsoever. That is their mistake. So, but they don't know that. They think that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave over power to these items. So that's why this part of their thought process, as Ramayevsky would say. When it says over here, yeah?
I see it here, the key word is Shmi.
Yeah.
It says, HaKadosh Shmi Bagoyim. V'chol makom mukhtar mikdash l'shmi. And again, HaKadosh Shmi Bagoyim. V'atem mechalim oto, et mi. It's Shmi.
Why did it change?
The Goyim calls God. They know that there is God, whatever they...
It's abstraction.
But they call God. The name is God.
God, okay.
You know who is God.
Also, very good. You're saying very good. It's like that famous, the famous vote in this Rebbe. This Rebbe, he sent away his son to a Litvish yeshiva. He sent away his son to learn by someone. At a great expense and great mistress, and then he sent his son away. So after he came back, after a whole year, the father said to him, Lou, what did you learn? I spent all this money, and I had such daigus, it was dangerous, that you should go, and you should be, and you learn. So he says to the father, I learned that there's a Ribbono Shel Olam. There's a Borei Olam. So the father, that's what I sent you away. Even the Shivcha knows that. Even the Shivcha knows, the maid knows there's a Ribbono Shel Olam. So the son says, She says there's a Ribbono Shel Olam. She says there's a Ribbono Shel Olam. I know there's a Ribbono Shel Olam. Any Nidoyne, lip service, no.
This is the whole parsha of the sweet. And he saw Inepa Hashemayim, or he says Hashemayim.
Yeah, exactly.
The Arbab Benel is 12 long pages
on
this pasuk, because he goes into Mazel. And he said it's really above my pay grade. That's what he says. He said, but it makes no. He said with all, and he really says, you know, I'm sorry, but I don't understand the Gemara. You know, he's quoting Gemara Shabbos, but he said I don't understand all the Tanoim and Bichod. You know, that with all respect to all the Tanoim that say Yesh Mazel to Israel. What's the whole taicha of Mechukot Sai Telech, you know, Saki Kishmochem Biyitah? Well, how do you translate all these psukim? That if you do good, you'll get good, and if you don't, you know, you're going to get punished. So what does that all mean? And he lists every little problem, and he breaks down every other Rishon, you know, pro and con, and it's forever. But that's what it's talking about in general.
Okay, so here, this is a very profound Mitzvah Stavit, how he turns around the Pasuk. They think it's a Kavod, so back to the Pasuk. What does the Pasuk get out? Ki Mimizrach Shemesh, first, for the first Chiddush over here is, Mimizrach Shemesh Amavod does not mean time. It means space. Throughout the entire world, civilized world, as far as you can see, to the east, to the west, the civilized world, Godol Shmi Bagoyim, the Goyim know good and well that God created this world. But they make a big mistake. They think that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave over his powers to his deputies. And therefore, what do? They offer sacrifices to all of these heavenly bodies. Uvechol makom, mukta, in every location is their ketores, mugosh, that is offered to come near lishmi. Lishmi means by giving honor to my deputies in their mind. It's equivalent to giving honor to me. If you serve the deputy, like the example that I gave you, this true life example with this person, you give cover to a person's child, that's the greatest cover for you. And therefore, Umincha Tehoro, he learns the Mitzvah stuff. The word Tehoro here, we have to add in some words. In their minds, the gift that they're offering, the sun, the moon, the stars, is pure. Because these are Hashem's deputies, and by giving honor to a deputy, it's the equivalent of giving honor, a greater honor, to God Himself. Then the pasuk repeats itself to some week, Gadol Shmi Bagoyim, because the repetition, I'm not sure what he's not only using the repetition. My name is great among the Goyim. He already said that in the beginning of the pasuk. Omar Hashem Tzvaka. So the Tzidus David, we explain the repetition. Let's go back into the study. Mincha Tehoira, Gadol Shmi Ulechein, Lefin to Usam, Yakwivu, Limarochis, Hashem. He doesn't explain. He doesn't explain the repetition. It says exactly this expression twice. It says, Gadol Shemi Bagoyim, Ki Gadol Shemi Bagoyim, twice, Amar Hashem Tzivokas. But you, the Jewish people, you, Klal Yisrael, you have the benefit of knowing that the sun, the moon, have absolutely no shlita whatsoever. Nothing. The only one that controls things in this world is Hashem. Hashem has not gone anywhere. Hashem sees everything. Hashem controls the hashkocha prophets in every single little path. This is very powerful philosophy.
And that's why he's this using the word tzvokos here. B'shem Hashem is called tzvok Hashemayim, as opposed to, it doesn't just say Omar Hashem or Omar Hashem.
The totality of Hashem.
It's saying that I control
everything, every little detail, every little prat. But you, Klal Yisrael, you know better. You know better. V'yatem lechalelim oisov. You profane him. Also means Hashem. You, Klal Yisrael, when you say be'en morchem, when you say shulchan, he's going back to the previous psukim, Bigenberg, shulchan Hashem migo'olhu, v'nivo, and your words. Okay, the words, the nivo literally means its words. It means the words that are uttered in relation to it. What is the it? The Mizbeach. Who is the one who are saying these words? You! Klal Yisrael, means the words that are said about the object. The object being the Mizbeach. You are the one who says these words. And what do you say? You say, Nivze Ochloi, the food that is put on top on the Mizbeach is disgusting. But let's see Rashi. Rashi, back.
Do you think this is the same thing about bowing down to, say, Bowie Kala, Lower Kala, and Mechudo God, that some people do and some people don't?
Say it again?
In Kabbalah Shabbos, when it says Bowie Kala.
Bowie Kala, Bowie Kala.
Some people bow down and some people don't. Right? Some people are holding that you have to.
Who doesn't bow down?
What?
Everyone bows. Who doesn't bow?
What?
There are people who don't bow by Bowie Kala, Bowie Kala?
Yeah, I see a lot of people
don't. Is it because they're lazy? Is it because they come late? They're sleeping? I'm not aware that I'm not aware that there's a minute not to bow. I don't know. So what's this? Okay, let's say you don't bow. What would be the issue? Yeah, what would be the issue?
Because you're bowing to the Shabbos instead of to Hashem.
No, so you're asking good. You're saying a good point that you don't bow down to a represent. You don't bow down. Right? So. You're really bowing to Hashem.
Right.
It's Hashem's Shechino, which is now being manifest in Shabbos Kodesh. You say, it's a little bit dangerous. You're giving too much credit to a Bowie Chala, Bowie Chala. You're bowing to Hashem. So what's this all about? You're right, I don't know what this is. This, the whole Chodod is pure Kabbalah. It's real spooky Kabbalah stuff. We think, Litvaks, they think, we don't learn Kabbalah, Kabbalah. You can't even begin to fathom how much influence the Baalei Kabbalah have. We all got the vaccine for this. They won the day. It's in our blood. It's in our blood, Kabbalah. It's really amazing how far they've penetrated every prat of Jewish life. We don't even realize the power, how much we've been affected by Inyani Kabbalah. So you're right, what does it mean? You bow down, Bo'ichala. I don't know. All I know is that they asked someone once, why do you have a Baal Shuva came to a person's house, and the Baal Shuva said, why do you have two loaves of bread Friday night? So he didn't know what to, he wouldn't be embarrassed, you know. He didn't know lechem, he didn't know the man. The real answer, because the man fell on Friday, it's zeichel leman, zeichel leman. But he wasn't so swift, so he wouldn't be embarrassed in front of a bat tshuva. So he said, did you come with me to shul? Yeah. Remember by Lachododi? Boi chala, boi chala. Two chalas. Two chalas. That's why we have two chalas. All right. Now let's see Rashi. Rashi, back on back, back on the previous page, pay Pasuk Yud. Pasuk Yud, that was one of the famous, I think, project inspired many, many years ago. You know, they have...
I didn't believe it. I didn't hear it. It sounds like it's thousands of years old, but I know.
They try to, like, there used to be a commercial on the radio, attending wins about asking people to basically adopt children. Or to adopt, like, you know, forced to be, not necessarily illegal, but to be like, you know, to be a buddy, to be like
a big brother
to, you know. And so the people's number one excuse was, I don't know how to do anything. I have no skills and talent. What can I possibly do? How can I possibly be like, you know, a big brother? So you don't have to do anything. Nothing. And they were like one commercial after another, unbelievable commercials of like craziest things of what parents who are totally ignorant about the whole world, how would they would say to these kids. It doesn't matter.
Open the pickle jar.
Right. It doesn't matter. The point is, it doesn't matter. Just to be there for that person is all you gotta do. And it was hilarious, some of these commercials. So Project Inspire basically picked up on that. That's what they did. They took that. It was a very successful campaign on the radio to encourage people to become like big brothers for children that don't have parents. And they picked up what do you need to do to be a mashpia, to be mekarev, a Jew who is unaffiliated. So you think you want me to invite a Baal Tshuva? I should invite a person that never saw a Shabbos. What do I know? You're coming to my house, the kids are fighting, and they're throwing food, they're making trouble. I'm not exactly such a big Talmud Chacham. I come late to davening, you know? So they would advertise, you don't have to know nothing. Just be who you are with all of your ignorance and your mishagasim and your foolishness, and invite a guy, we'll send you someone who never experienced Shabbos before, take him into your house. Even if you're thoroughly ignorant, do whatever you do on a regular Shabbos. And they showed. So the guy takes this guy into the house. And the guy's looking and watching at one crazy thing after the other. And this is just one thing that stuck out of my mind. Boi chala, boi chala. Okay. The other answer he gave was, buy one. Get one free.
I had an experience. There is a place in the Sabbath Shul that they talk in that section. So, and I'll skip away. So once somebody from that section came over to me and he said, why don't you join our city? So I asked him, what do I have to know in order to sit near you? You don't have to know anything.
Join the chevra. We just need camaraderie. Camaraderie. 100%. 100%. Okay, there's something to it. Okay.
Just like the president.
Okay. Okay. Look, some people will tell you that a shul today. They make this argument. The shul today. It's a club. It's a club. It's just coming to shul and talking also serves value. Isn't something to be said about that? There's something to be said about that. Don't hold the shul today on the same standards as the Beis HaMikdash. In the Beis HaMikdash, Hashem is saying, shut down. It's a very powerful statement. Shut down the Beis HaMikdash. So you have a shul where people talk. So you're going to say, shut down the shul? So what are they going to do then? You're going to shut down the shul. So if you're in New York and in Flapper, so they'll go to the next shul. They'll go to another shul. If you go and you're out of town, it's the only shul in town, so they'll go to the movies. They'll stay home. Where do you draw the line? Where's the balance? it's very interesting. This is a shocking pasuk to tell people that Hashem is saying, who has the courage to shut down the Beis Hamikdash? Pasuk give Rashi. Mi gam bochem v'yisgar dilo sayim. Halavai. If only the yokum ish toiv bochem. A good man should stand up. She yisgar dalse mikdashi. To shut down the Beis Hamikdash. Levildi havi sham karban hatoeva. The karban is an abomination. Hazaz. V'loisi'idu esh mizbechi chinam. Don't light the fire on the mizbeach. Be ishim with fire she eini misvatze bohem. I have no benefit from shehari ein li chefetz bohem. I have no desire. But I will stay new the roshu b'toras kehanim adam oyma lachaveroi. Hagef li es adelis hazov. Ein tovel oleha sachar. A person says, close this door. Hagef li, close for me this door. Ein tovel oleha sachar. Do not demand wages. Let's see further. Hadleik li es haner hazeh. Ein shoyel oleha sachar. V'atem you. Mi bochem shesogar dalti chinam. V'lo hi'artem mizbuchi chinam. Certainly, you shall not do chinam devarim shadarkon asesem b'socha. Lefichach ein li chayfetz b'chav. Another thing, think like this. The belief thing of this is follows. This is a chazal. Chazal is saying is that if you go ask a person, can you have a light for a cigarette, which today is not a good idea. Make believe. Go back. 75 years ago, everyone smoked, and you say, got a match? You ever see someone say to his friend, yeah, I'll give you a match. Pay me $5. Pay me $5. Right? You want me to light up for you? $5. Ridiculous. If someone comes over to you in the street and says, can you, got a match? If someone says to you, can you go into the store, to the supermarket, before the olden days, everything was electronic and the doors opened by themselves, right? So you open up the door, an old lady says, dude, can you please keep the door open for me so I can walk out with my walker? The door should slam on my feet. Of course. So you open the door, and the lady goes out. Could you imagine saying to the woman, if you pay me $5, I'll hold the door open for you. Don't worry, this woke society is coming to that. But you open up the door, would you have the chutzpah to charge someone $5? I'll hold the door open for you if you give me $5. I'll light your cigarette if you give me $5. Impossible. Okay, that's not the way the society works. So in the base, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, guess what? When you open the door for me, when you light a cigarette for me, Hashem says, Kaviyacho, I pay you. You come to the Beis HaMikdash and you light the match, you turn on the lights on the Amud, the Gabbai who presses that button. When it comes time to have a mincha to light the neros, Hashem says, I'm giving you reward for that. You open the door, you come to shul, you open the door, and you turn it one more time to keep the door open, I'm giving you reward. Look how good I am to you. I'm so good to you, I give you reward for things that no one else in the world would expect reward. So therefore, don't you think you should reciprocate? Don't you think, let's see, the words of the Rashi, right? We say the Rashi, the Rashi, a person says to his fellow man, okay, I'll translate it loosely. Please open the door, close the door behind you. It's cold outside. You go into the store, the door is open, do me a taiva, please close the door behind you. So you're going to say, yeah, I'll close the door if you go and you pay me $5. Ain't to me all the hasachar. You don't have the chutzpah to say $5. Hadlik li yasaner hazeh. Turn on the light, please. You come and turn on the light. You say to him, Inshallah HaSachar, but the Atem, by Klal Yisrael, Mibuchem Shesogar Dalti Chinam. Is there a person, Klal Yisrael, who closed the door for me, who did something, anything for me, and I, was it Chinam? I gave you, I rewarded you, I gave you whatever you wanted. V'lo He'artem Mizbuchi Chinam. Is there a person who ever lit a fire on the Mizbech and did not receive a reward? Kal v'choymer. Now concludes the Medrash. How much more so? Sheloi asisem chinam devarim shedarkon asesem b'sachar. How much more so, Hashem says, I will certainly pay you back for services that you do for me, that in society you do charge money for. when you do charge, if someone says to you, I want a building, please. Can you please build me an office building? I have 1,000 workers. Can you please, I need a building. Do me a favor. Buy me a piece of land and go get an architect. Fight with the city tooth and nail to go approve all of the architectural plans with all the permits and the community board meetings and build the building with the best building materials. Really? You want me to do this for you? Give me $10 million and I'll do it. I'll take $1 million for myself, or maybe I'll take $5 million for myself, and with the rest of the money, I'll do what you want. I'll build you the building, I'll hire someone to do it, and I'll go on vacation. Right? So you get money for this. You don't just build a building. Someone pays you for this. This is a service. Alachas kam v'kama, a person builds a yeshiva? A person builds a shul? A person donates a sefer Torah to a shul? A person creates an institution in honor of Hashem? Al-achas kama v'kama. I'm going to pay you back big time for your service to me. If I'm willing to give promise you reward for pressing the button on that menorah when it comes time to daven mincha, even though when someone walks into the room and you say to him, please turn on the lights, press the button to turn on the lights, you don't expect that person that presses the button doesn't have any havamina to demand from me payment for turning on the lights. Yet, we all know in the back of our mind that for every little thing HaKadosh Baruch Hu rewards us for pushing the button to turn on the nair for davening. Alachas kama v'kama, when a person does something which in society you are paid for, how much more so is HaKadosh Baruch Hu going to give a person enormous reward? Yeah. Okay, right. Okay, so we'll just extrapolate. Today we're all Kohanim. Today, V'atem Mamleches Kohanim V'Goy Kodesh. The whole Klal Yisrael was also with Derech as a servant. Right, in this part we're talking about the government will be doing the service. And they're complaining. They're complaining. So he's learning Shalvi and the Pasik Yud. Me, now go back to the Pasik and Tzal one more time. Me, Gam, Bochem, Yitzko, Dilosam. Now he's learning Shalvi and the Pasik. Is there a person over here, whoever closed a door, or v'lo se'iru mizbechi chinam? Now he's learning Shalvi and the Pasik. Is there ever a person here in society who did something that is so simple, effort, involves no effort, and did it for free? Is there anyone that can say no? No one got did anything for free. Even closing a door in the Beis HaMikdash, even lighting a fire in the Beis HaMikdash, HaKadosh Baruch Hu rewarded that individual. Even though the equivalent of that action being done out in the street, in the world, in the secular world, is something which you do not demand payment, reward for. So certainly, al-achas kama v'kama, appreciate my service, how much more so will I reward you for doing things which in the world and society you do get paid for. So this Perush in Rashi is this is the drasha. First he tells us the pshat. The pshat he tells us exactly what it says in the Mitzvah Sdavah. Right, because the Shbarach over here is coming to make a demand. Please, does anyone have enough courage to shut down the Beis HaMikdash? Because the service that is taking place in the Beis HaMikdash is disgusting. It is detestable. I remember once a guy, he was fighting over the Amud. It's a yard site. He wants down for the Amud, so they're fighting. Who gets the Amud? So this one says, I today have yard site for my father. I have yard site for my father. So therefore, I'm a member, I'm a paying member. I paid my dues. I daven here during the week on Shabbos. And I want to daven yard site on my father. So the other one says, well, I today have yard site for my mother. And I also pay my dues, this, that. And they fight, and they're arguing what to do. We'll split it, this. So finally the guy says to him, you know, your father doesn't hold a candle to my mother. Mom, yeah, he really said that. Your father, who was your father? He was a nobody. He was a nobody. What was he? What did he do? Who was your father? What did he do for a living? He was an accountant. You know what my mother was? What she did? She ran. Oh yeah, this should leave me sure. It's this shul. You know what my mother did? She was the Isaac and Tzachi. It's Siba Shabika Choylin and this. Your father doesn't hold a candle to my mother. How dare. So he gets up to daven. Come on. That davening is Mirutzeh Lishnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Gotta be retarded. That davening is a to'eva. A to'eva. To talk like that and to insult someone, to take the other and so you totally lose track of what's going on over here. What's the purpose of this davening over here? And you think it's a joke? It's not a joke. These stories happen all the time.
I told you what happened.
All the time.
A long time ago.
What?
One rabbi said that he's a rabbi here in the United States, but his father was a rabbi in South Africa. And they were going at it, two guys that he'd admire every night, and this person said he had your answer, he wanted a daven. And the guy that was a little more forceful, finally, I'm making it very short, but he pulled out a gun, shot it in the air, and he said, now who's going to daven Meyer?
Unbelievable. And then there was once a person, he finished the Yud Beis Chodesh, and he said, he was bragging, I didn't miss davening for the Omud as the Shliach Tzibur, not even one tefillah the entire year. That's what he said. He was so proud of himself. He walks out of the room, and the rabbi says to him, really, at what expense was this done? In other words, how many people did you step on? How many people, it's impossible for a person to daven the entire year, every single tefillah, without insulting and shoving your weight around and pushing away people who have yard signs and have this and have that. Listen, there are many situations where a person wants to daven for the Amun and they're not a chiyuv. They're not a chiyuv. He has yard signs for his grandfather. But it means the world to him to daven for his grandfather. So he comes and he asks the Baal Tzila, you know, I have yartzeh for my grandfather. I daven every year this day. Could I daven? I have yartzeh for my mother. I'm a chiv. I'm toch yud beis chodesh. Read what it says in Shulchan Aruch. That I have kedima. I have kedima. And you're a nobody. So the guy, okay. Shulchan Aruch. Yeah, that's right. You're a chiv and he's not a chiv. But Shulchan Aruch also allows you to be Meichel. You also allowed once in a while to step aside and let the guy who has Yartzeh for his grandfather, it means so much to him, so let him daven one day. What's the big deal? You'll say your Kaddish. You don't have to daven every single day. So at what expense? Wow, this guy is great. He got every single tefillah for the honor. No way you can do that. No way. There's no way you can possibly do that without abusing, harassing and insulting other people. It's not a zchus. As a rabbi, if someone makes a statement like that, I mean, when it comes to Yom Kippur, you go to shul and they say, oh, is there a kohen here? Kohen? Anyone a kohen? Ever see that? Okay. Is there a levi here? A levi? Comes Yom Kippur, the night of Yom Kippur. So what do you say? Say, aldas hamakohen, aldas hakohol, luchu. Okay, so before they start Kol Nidre, they say, "Oh, is there an avaryonim? Is an avaryon anyone here? We need a kohen levi. Is an avaryon here? We need this guy who davened every single tefillah yid beis. He's the avaryon. Oh, Baruch Hashem, we can now proceed." All right, we're going to stop over here, take a short break. We'll see you, Hashem, tomorrow. Who? Okay. Before we break, I want to say, Mizmar Fihilim, today our Michal Miller's wife is having surgery. Okay? She's having surgery, and I want to say, Mizmar, get ready to consider. I'll tell you her name. Okay, I'll tell you just in case those who know. Give me one moment, get her name. We'll say Mizmor too.